Father, we just want to allow you free reign in our lives tonight as we listen to this word about mission. It's what we should be about. It's what you've called us to. And I just pray that each one of us will open up our hearts to you now and let your Holy Spirit have his way amongst us. And any response we need to make tonight, Lord, may we make it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thanks for being here. It's a mission evening, and which means I'm going to talk about mission. That's good, isn't it? I'm just going to start by reading a few verses. You'll know them very, very well from Matthew 28. And it is they are the verses that Anona and I used as our grounding when we went out to live and work in Uganda. And it's Matthew 28, starting at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And can't that be us sometimes, that we doubt? Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." I find those tremendous words. And they always challenge me, but they also always encourage me because they say that Jesus is going to be with me wherever I go and whatever I do in his name. So this church, it's good at supporting mission and good at supporting those out on mission, but maybe we're not so good at sending people out on mission. I think you'd probably agree with me there. But you know, there are good reasons why we should be involved in mission and why more of us should think about going out on mission, even in this country and especially abroad. And my thinking is that we're living in the end times that Jesus talks about. We're living in the end times. So I've just picked up on three things that say why we, or three things that are good and urgent reasons for mission if we are in the end times, and I believe we are. And the first one is this. Now, I don't know how to pronounce this properly, but it's called the Aliyah or the Aliyah. And what this is the return of God's chosen people to Israel. Anti-Semitism, again, is on the increase worldwide, if you read about such things. And many Jews are returning to Israel. And for the first time in hundreds of years, many hundreds of years, there are now more Jewish people living in Israel than there are living outside of Israel. And that's just an amazing fact, really. Because I think the Bible tells us that in the end times, God will draw his people back to his own land. So we might ask ourselves, but what's this got to do with me? We cannot affect directly Jews going back to Israel. But there are some in this country, maybe some in this church, that have made it their mission in life to pray for Israel. And it's a sign of the times in which we live. You know, we're called to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're called to pray for Israel. So what can we do? We can pray for those Jews that are making that return back to Israel. We can pray that they will find Jesus and they will come messianic believers. Amen? That's just the first quick point. And by the way, I'm hoping not to be too long this evening. You'll be pleased to know. The second point is the point about unreached people. And it's a truth that is in, Jesus says in Matthew 24, he says he will not return again until all nations, all tribes and all tongues have had the opportunity to hear the gospel, which is his good news. And as his people, we should want to hasten the return of Jesus. Is that true?
Yes.
But maybe we're helping delay it, because there's a book, I don't know if you've heard of it or read it, called Operation World. Have you heard of that? It's a fantastic book and good reading. And it tells us there are about 5,000 people groups, totaling 1.5 billion people, who have never been reached with the gospel. And I find that amazing. They're mostly remote groups throughout North Africa, remote parts of Asia, and in South America. That's where the majority of them will be, but they've never, ever heard the gospel. And that, I find that incredible in the modern age of travel and communications. But it's a fact. You know, and these 1.5 billion people, they're part of the 4.5 billion people worldwide who are still separated from God. And therefore, 4.5 billion people who have no eternal future with God in heaven. There's just mind-blowing statistics, really. And all those people, 3 billion of those presumably have heard the gospel and rejected it, but this 1.5 billion have never heard the gospel. And I'm thinking, how fortunate we are to live here where we live. How fortunate we are to be able to freely practice our faith and share the gospel in this country. Although that's becoming more limited in places as well, I think. So many of these people are probably difficult people in difficult areas to reach. And so I would say that anyone who goes there to try and find them and bring them the gospel can truly be called a missionary. You know, what we did to go out to Uganda, we're not missionaries, we were just teaching. But these people that go where the gospel has never been preached at all, they're real missionaries, and I have every respect for them. So we've got the Eliah, we've got unreached people, and we have what I've called here the unready church. The truth is that the Bible tells us that Jesus will come for his bride, the church, and the bride needs to be making herself ready for him to come again. But I don't think the bride is ready. I don't think the bride is anywhere near ready. There are many people throughout the world who would call themselves Christians. Many of these, particularly in third world countries, need nurturing in their faith. You could say there are many people in this country need nurturing in their faith, but it's certainly true in places like Asia and Africa. They need teaching as to the true nature of their faith, because so often they're being fed false teaching. You know, and in our experience in Africa, even the pastors are being fed wrong teaching, false teaching. E.g., the prosperity gospel. If you're in Africa, you'll hear the prosperity gospel preached a lot. You can hear name it and claim it preached a lot. And so they need to know the truth of their faith. So those of us in this country, or in this church even, who are more mature in the faith, I think need to consider going. And it's not everyone's cup of tea, and we'd all got different gifts, but I think we would all have something to offer to bring people into the truth of the gospel. And the other thing I would say about that is that there is blessing and encouragement in going to share in these countries such as Uganda and other places you might want to go to. Because we can learn from those that we go to visit. Yes, we go to teach and to encourage people who need encouragement. But often we can return home excited because those people we've gone to visit, they are exuberant in their worship. Sometimes they put our worship to shame. They have a teachable spirit and they really are serious about knowing more about their faith. So it's, you know, that's a good reason for going, isn't it? Because you become encouraged yourself. And I keep on about Uganda because that's my experience. But many pastors there are eager to learn. You know, often a pastor in a village church there will be the guy that might have a Bible. So he starts a church. But those pastors, they want to be more effective in their ministry and in their teaching. They want to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, those of you that heard Matt yesterday afternoon said he wants people to be real disciples. And those guys that we see certainly want to be real disciples. And I believe that it's incumbent on all of us as Christians to be involved in, you know, helping these people or helping disciple these people. We cannot just leave it to everyone else. So there are my reasons for urgent reasons for mission, the Alaya, the unreached peoples of the world, and the church that is unready that we can help make ready. Of course, not all of us are called to be career missionaries. We certainly weren't. But all of us, I believe, can consider short-term mission. Maybe a couple of weeks, a couple of months, a year, whatever. We could all consider doing that when the circumstance is right for us. So is there anybody here that has actually ever been on a short-term mission? Sal? Come and see me a bit, Sal. No, I didn't, no. So, Sal, where did you go?
Went to Niger, West Africa.
And how long for?
I was there for a year.
Okay. And what were you doing while you were there?
Primarily working with a nomadic group of people called Wadabi. I don't know, they're quite well known because very animated and stuff. We're doing literacy, really, and using the literacy material that we had, but teaching a sort of a Christian message through the literacy.
Okay. And so when you returned home again, what impact did that have on your life?
Amazing.
Yeah, tell us.
Completely amazing. I think it just completely broadens your outlook. You certainly don't consider, you know, your life here in the same way ever, I don't think. It makes you more outward looking, definitely. I think it, you know, it can give you more of a heart for sort of the lost and the unreached, as Dave was talking about. Yeah, just lasting impact, really.
Yeah, thanks, Sal. Thanks. Is anybody else? Anybody else been? Philip, do you want me to come to you? Good evening, Philip. Good so, evening. Where did you go on mission?
I've had three 10-day missions to Romania.
Okay. And how long did you go for? 10 days, you just said. You told me that one already.
Well, one was a fortnight, but the other for 10 days, yeah.
So what did you do while you were in Romania?
We encouraged the local Christians in the little Baptist church in the village where we were. We also took aid out, and it was good. One trip we went there, we saw on account of the aid that we'd been sending out, we saw one lady who had been deaf since her husband had beaten her up, able to hear. There was one man who was virtually blind because of cataracts who could now see. Mm-hmm. And there was a man who was able to walk after a long time in a wheelchair.
Wow.
It's just amazing how the Lord worked in the lives of these people and in our hearts too. It was a real joy to be with these folks and to be able to share the gospel with them.
Mm-hmm. And what, how did it change your life going on these missions?
It just makes you realize just how fortunate we are, how easy it is in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We see these folks with virtually nothing, and yet their zeal for the Lord is amazing.
And what would you say to people that had the opportunity to go on to mission?
Go.
Go.
It'll change your life.
Yeah. Thank you, Philip. Is there anybody else while we're at it? Yeah, John. Now, I know where John went, but tell them, John.
Well, it's a bit difficult to draw the boundaries. I've spent several years...
in the microphone.
It's a bit difficult to draw the boundaries because I've spent a number of years in France and in other places on the continent. I've spent about 3.5 years in Africa, which was Burkina Faso and Niger. Me and Sally's the... paths crossed briefly. She was just going as I came.
Okay. So what did you do when you were in these different places?
Well, while I was in Burkina Faso, I was just dropped in the deep end and to find out what Africa was like. And then when I went to Niger, I was doing computer support for Wycliffe, which meant sorting out anything electrical, computers, you name it, I did it. Say from telephone systems to laptops and anything else you can imagine or can't imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically just making sure things ran smoothly and stopping the missionaries from tearing their hair out too much.
So do you have an abiding memory of your mission trips? Or you've probably got several, but if you could give us an example...
Yeah, for instance, I had quite a bit to do with the local Tuaregs, and I got to know some of the Christian Tuaregs in the area. And one day they came round to see me, and I sort of realised there was something wrong. And eventually, it came out that they'd totally run out of money and they hadn't got anything to eat. So I think I found some money and some food, and that kept them alive for a few days until they got some. So they got some more money from somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's one of the things about life there. It's not what you're going to eat, it's if are you going to eat.
Yeah.
And it's... And the other thing is, you're used to safety here, but I sort of woke up in the morning and found that was a machine gun battle just down the road, and I slept right through it. And... Also, on another occasion, several people had been in part of a town they shouldn't have been in and found themselves at the wrong end of a machine gun.
Gosh.
And that's the sort of thing that went on.
Yeah.
So life is very short out there. And it's probably if I went back now, there's lots of places I couldn't go to because of the security situation.
So, life can be tough when you're out on mission, but would you encourage people to consider going?
Yes, but count the cost. It's. I was painfully aware that I had no idea, and you just have to go and find out.
Yeah. Thanks, John. So you can see... going out on mission can lead you into many different and varied situations and doing different stuff. But I think it's something that maybe we're all called to do. And so just want to ask you these questions, really. Are you looking for travel and and to experience other cultures? Do you want to do something real to help others around the world? Are you looking for a new experience that will stretch your faith? Do you feel a sense of calling to do mission work and want to find out more? Now, one of the questions I got down here is it doing a Christian gap year that interests you? But actually, when we've been flying out to Uganda, we've seen plane loads of usually Americans on their short-term mission trip, and they're nearly always youngsters. But I just want to make the point that short-term mission isn't just for young people, it's for older people too, like us, I guess. And, you know, we're probably, many older people are at the age and stage where they're able to go out onto a short-term mission or even a long-term mission and just make a difference wherever they're going. There are many valid reasons for wanting to go on a short-term mission. It can be a stepping stone to further Christian service, but it can also be an important catalyst for greater Christian maturity and wholeness in our own lives. Certainly, for Anona and I think it helped us to grow as Christians, helped us to grow in our faith. It made our faith stronger because we found that we had to rely more on God day by day by day. And I think it does that for you. And it would for John when he can hear machine gun battles going on, you see. That would have strengthened his faith, trying to knowing he was safe. So there's no better way to understand God's love for the world and God's plan for the world than to be an active part of it. And we can all do that. And going on a short-term mission is an excellent way to achieve that. But if you were considering going on mission, there are several things you would need to consider, I think. Firstly, you need to unpack your reasons for wanting to go. You know, and you could seek advice from those that you're close to. You could talk to your pastor or other church leaders. You could talk to your church to see which ways they could support you. You could talk with others who have been on mission even and, you know, get their, not their opinion, but their advice. But most of all, you need to pray. You need to pray and see what God says. Secondly, you need to understand the time you have available to go and the impact on your existing commitments. You know, many people are working. They might say, well, I can give a week or 2 weeks of my holiday and I can go in that time. But you have to think through carefully how that trip would impact other areas of your life. And we've already said work, but there'd be family, there'd be other commitments that you would have. And again, when you're thinking about the time to go on mission, again, you need to pray and see what God says. Then thirdly, you'd need to research your preferred location. Where do I want to go? So you start your research into different regions and countries of the world. And again, you could look at a copy of this book, Operation World. The main focus of this book is prayer, but it's also a source of facts and mission information about every country in the world. And it's quite a thing to read through, I guess, and you wouldn't want to read about every country in the world all at once, just the ones you were interested in. And again, pray, see what God says about where you should go, where he wants you. And then you need to consider what sort of work or activity you'd like to get involved in. Do you want to do frontline evangelism? Do you want to go and do teaching? Maybe you're interested in something practical like working in an orphanage or with a school. Maybe you want to go and dig wells. Or maybe you want to be involved in some other community projects. You know, there are many varied reasons and many varied things you could do if you go out on a short-term mission. Because you'll still come into contact with all those local people that you're trying to bring along in their faith. And again, I'd say, pray about it, see what God says. And if you don't know where you're going to go or how you're going to get there or where you're going to stay, anything like that, you need to research your preferred mission organisation for travelling with. You can find mission organisations that offer short-term mission opportunities that match your needs. You need to check that you're comfortable with their aims, their values, their beliefs and their policies. Then you need to see which ones interest you and contact them and request further information. And then, of course, you need to pray to see what God says. You know, have I chosen the right organisation, the right way to go? Of course, going on short-term mission requires finance. And sometimes it's not cheap to go. And it's something you would have to consider and work towards. And I would say if anyone here who is a part of this church wanted to go on a short-term mission, then as a mission team, we have access to a mission fund which might be able to help finance your mission. Is that right, Sal? So if that was you, you'd either speak to Sally or Fee or Paul Williams or myself or Anona, and, you know, in the first instance, and we could then all meet and see how we could help you. You know, our mission fund is there, not just for supporting people that are already out on mission, but people who want to go from this church and serve on the mission field. And it doesn't have to be abroad, by the way. If your mission field where God sends you is this country, then again, I would say ask. And you never know, do you? Finally, because I said I wouldn't be long, I have an opportunity for you if you want to go out on short-term mission. And that's... This is a bit of a mission update, really, I guess. But sometime, I hope, in February to be going back to Uganda. And you'd be very welcome to come with me. I'm going for a couple of reasons. The first is a pastor's conference in Kasese in the west of Uganda. And it's the first of its kind. We're bringing down over 300 pastors from the Ruwenzori Mountains for a four-day conference at their request. But this is a major thing for these pastors because most of them will have to walk miles and miles before they even reach any public transport of any sort to get to Kasese. Yet they're willing to make that sacrifice to come. And then when they come, they're going to sleep on the floor of a Baptist church in the middle of the town, and we're going to feed them and teach them. Basically, that's it, but that's a big commitment from them to come and do that. And so we want to do our very best for them in return. And as I said, you'd be very welcome to come and share in that if you wanted to. For the second week that I'm there, I'm going to the middle of Uganda, to an area that we know and used to live in, where I'm hoping to do a week's teaching in one of the village churches there. And again, you'd be very welcome to be there with me. And as part of that part of the visit, we'll be visiting Zion Community School in Kakuba, which is the school that we're currently still building. They would love to see people other than me. So again, if you'd like to come, come. And the other place we'll be visiting would be the Elizabeth Centre for Children with Disabilities. You know, if that's on your heart, you'd be very welcome there as well. So that's a mission opportunity for you. If you want to go, please come and see me, have a chat with me, and we'll see what can happen there. So that's my little thing about short-term mission, really, or mission in general. Has anybody got any questions? No. Nobody's saying, can I come?
Is there anything particular that would help for that? Is there any particular gifting that people would want to come along?
What we're trying to do at the minute with the pastors from the mountains is provide them with Bibles in their own language. So that would be, and they're done through the Bible Society, so they cost about a fiver each. And we're not doing too bad. We've supplied over 100 so far, and we're gradually building funds again to be able to get another 100 there. So that would be gratefully received. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's just pray then, shall we? Father, we thank you for your calling on our lives. It may be to mission abroad, it may be to mission in this country, it may be to mission where we work, where we live. But you call us to mission because the church is a mission. That's why you've called your church together. And Lord, part of our service to you is making Jesus known, making the truth of the gospel known, so that when Jesus comes back for his bride, it will be ready. And it will be radiant, waiting for him to take her. And so, Lord, I pray for each person here now that they will be prompted by your Spirit just to serve somewhere and do something that will further the kingdom, whether it's here or whether it's abroad. Father, please open up to each person the opportunity to go where you want them to go and to do what you want them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.